Good morning. Is this microphone loud enough? That's a yes? Okay. Let us begin by opening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time this morning. Lord, we have taken time out that we can just sit back, reflect on what you have done for us. Father, what we know your promises are that you will do for us in the future, and to reflect on your Son, Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, and now is seated at the right hand of your side and intercedes for us. Lord, we know that sinners are made clean because Jesus took our penalty on his body on the cross. We thank you for that this morning, and we just ask that you would just bless this word and open hearts that we could all learn more about you. We thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. And if you have a Bible in front of you, I believe it's on page 765. Luke chapter 5, let's begin reading at verse 1. Now it came about that while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water, and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." And if I could also cite, and you don't need to turn there, Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1:17, Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, what I thought I'd do this morning is I would work off of this premise, is that Jesus was the master of the analogy or the parable. And this is just one of hundreds of examples that Jesus gives that has such a word image and an object lesson to us through an experience or through a situation that he was at. And I looked at the parable or the analogy of what he used as far as this fishing incident of fishing for fish versus fishing for men. And it struck me that this analogy or this story that Christ told or that the Bible tells about Jesus is a tremendous analogy for sharing one's faith, for attracting people to Christ, and for sowing the word of God into people's hearts. I also thought that if you receive this month's edition of Interest Magazine, it is dedicated to evangelism ideas, pointing friends or people that you don't even know towards Christ. And even says in an article, "So send I you." So I thought it would dovetail nicely that we talk a little bit about evangelization, witnessing, as it pertains to this fishing analogy, and it would dovetail nicely with this Interest Magazine. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to carry through with this analogy that the Bible uses, or that Jesus used, as far as capturing or catching fish, as we are to go out and capture and catch the hearts of men and women. I thought in so doing this that we would encourage each other that this is a commitment that we are supposed to do. and that is to share Christ with those around us. And in so doing, I thought maybe we could share some fishing tips, and then at the end, we'll just answer the question, why? Why do we do this? And I'd like to answer that question in a song. As you can see, I've got some speakers here. Okay? Are you with me? All right, let's go. Excuse me. Now, in order to go fishing, you have to be prepared. Every good fisherman goes through a time of preparation. And that time of preparation could be anything from checking the weather report, making sure that your boat has gas in it, doing all the little things, like as we saw in this passage of Scripture, they were mending the nets, they were checking the nets. Many fish can be lost if your gear is not in proper order. Fish can go right through a net if that net is not weaved to where there are no holes in it big enough for a fish to get in. So it just makes sense that you're going to prepare yourself. You go through this preparation before you stick your hook in the water. And so too it is with fishing for men. You need to be prepared before you can go out there and drop your line in the water. As the Scripture says, before we go fishing, we put on the full armor of God. Or, and you don't need to turn there, I'm going to read from 1 Peter 3:15. Where it says, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you. We should be proud fishermen, proud of who we belong to, and that's Jesus Christ, and proud of what he has done for us, and that is he gave his life on the cross, so that we could have eternal life. So, you check your gear, you make sure the weather is going to be good, you make sure you know where you're going, you make sure you know what you're going for, what type of fish you're going to go catch. Okay, number two, what do you do next? Well, after you arrive on the scene, you want to make sure that you have the bait to go catch the fish. Now, this bait box was provided to me courtesy of the great fisherman himself, Tom Duncan. But as you can see, Tom has quite a bit of little gadgetry here that he uses to catch different styles or different types of fish. Sometimes he uses a worm, a rubber one, or a plastic one at that. Other times he can use a jig or a rubber type of whatever here that has a hook stretching out on it. But the point to be made here is that you need to have the proper bait if you're going to catch fish. And if you're going to catch a type of fish, you have to have the right type of bait. It would be very nice if all fish ate worms. They don't. You have to have a different style and a different type of bait in order to catch different styles and different types of fish. Of course, I think we can all just take that analogy one step further. You understand that this world is built of diverse people that require different sets of bait in order to attract them to Jesus Christ. You also have to have clean bait. You ever dropped a, I'm not sure, has everybody gone fishing here at one time or been exposed to fishing? Most people have. I'm sure you've always been through, you've had your hook in the water for about 15 or 20 minutes and you reel it up and what do you have but a hunk of seaweed? The reason why you couldn't catch any fish is because the fish couldn't see the bait. Your bait has to be visible. Now, I happen to have this little angel on this fishing pole today that I'm really not using for bait. This angel is rather soft, and when I get to the casting portion of the analogy, I may take this thing and go like that a couple of times. So just in case anybody gets hit with this, it's a little bit easier to get hit with a soft angel than it would be a hook. So we're not going after angelfish, by the way. So the bait is very important. On the mankind side, what is the bait that we use to attract people to Christ? Well, the premise here is that we are the bait. Our very makeup, our very person is the bait that will attract someone to Jesus Christ. Not only who we are and how we live, but what we can conjure up and what we can think of. And Interest Magazine went into a few of these things, such as hobbies that you have in common with a person, a common interest, a common ethnic background, common needs. And the ways around these things are to get people in front of the bait. And we do things such as VBS, Vacation Bible School. You see the sign out on the front. That's a bait. It's trying to attract people, to pull people in closer to Christ. Now, there's a lot of fishermen out there. Some of them are fishing for different things. They're not all the same type of fishermen. They don't work for the same fishing company that you and I do. And so you look out on the lake or wherever you're fishing, and there's boats, many boats, with people that have their hooks in the water. And I'll follow through on the analogy. Consider this as far as the competition for fishing out there. 3 nights ago, I was in a hotel room in Detroit. And I turned the television set on as I was getting ready for bed. And a commercial came on. And it was this woman, and she walked into a library. And she said, "When you want to relax or you want to have some questions answered, who would you like to read about more than anybody else in the world?" And there was a pause. And the question was, "For my sake, I want to read about Jesus Christ." And she walked further into the library, and she pulled a book off the shelf. And she said, "Jesus came down to America in 1914 and started explaining what God had in mind for America." And she pulled off a Book of Mormon off the library shelf. And then she said, "If you want to read this book, go to your local library. But better yet, I can help you even further. Just call this 800 number that shows up on the screen, and I'll send you that book for free." That's some pretty tough competition right there. If we're using worms and rusty old hooks, or we're not even having our hook in the water, this is network technology that they're using to reach millions of people. And especially at that time of night when millions of people are sitting there watching television because they have not much else to do, because they're lonely, depressed. Satan is a very effective fisherman. You ought to take a peek into his tackle box and see what's in there. Television's in there in a lot of ways. Books are in there. Lust of the flesh, the pride of life, lust of other people's things, and he fishes very well. And we have to be effective fishermen using the correct bait in order to pull those fish out of that pond before he does. And the bait that you're bringing to this pond, this stream, this ocean, wherever you're fishing, is the best bait that you could ever have to catch a fish. Because your real bait is the love of Christ. The love that Jesus Christ has for sinners, for every single man and woman on this earth. Christ loved him so much that he died for him. And that's what's on the end of your hook. So being prepared, knowing your bait, having your right bait, keeping your bait clean, what's the next thing you do? Well, you go out and you pick your spot. You get to know the spot there for a while. You kind of look and you see a quiet setting, trees. You say to yourself, the place is probably just filled with fish. And you lay out a cast. Now, when you're casting in fishing, you kind of do it gently. I mean, you're not going very fast and pulling it back in and fast pulling it back in. And you're also not just throwing one cast and running around all over the place. You stay in the same spot for a while, hoping to lure the fish slowly, make it attractive. That it's going to take you bait. Fish doesn't bite. What do? Well, you don't give up. Maybe you go someplace else. Over there, perhaps. Doesn't mean there's no fish out there. It just means they don't happen to be biting on that particular bait. Or, what you could do, is you could change your bait. Put a different piece of bait on. Maybe they're not hungry for a worm or a angel. And so, continually, you keep throwing your hook out there, gently, slowly. And the one thing you need is patience. Because nobody has sat in a boat and dropped their hook in there and picks up a fish every single time. It's patience that you need. And it's the same way when fishing for men. people have built up in their minds and in their lifestyle a lot of different reasons why God isn't for them, why they are the masters of their own life. And you've got to combat that. And you do that gently. This isn't something that you just hand out and someone willingly takes it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is life-changing. And it takes a long fishing process sometimes to get that person to take that bait. Now what I do, or what I like to do anyway, if I've changed some locations or I've changed the bait, and quite frankly, sometimes you got to pack up your gear and go home. These fish aren't biting. That happens. Don't be discouraged. But eventually, what'll happen is you'll feel a nibble. And that's important. Because once you feel a nibble, you don't panic, obviously. You start leading the fish closely to the bait. And how I do that, as we can carry through the analogy, or how maybe we should do that, is I keep asking probing questions. If I see a person being drawn to the message of God, I would say some things like, do you understand that Jesus had to die? That he didn't just come down to teach us and to be the Son of God, he came to die? And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the person to think about that, to consider that, to dwell it over in their mind. Some of you may have heard of, many of you may have heard of Barnhouse. And in reading a couple of chapters of his book one time, he said, who controls hell? Most people would say, well, Satan, the devil controls hell. And his answer to that was, Jesus controls hell. And that's what makes it even scarier than Satan controls hell. Because he's in charge of all things. And so, again, tell the people, there's no gray area with Christ. You're either for him or you're against him. I want that person, as they start nibbling, as they start coming closer and closer to the bait, to keep having something to latch onto and to hold on to. Okay? When you finally feel the person has taken the bait, what's the next thing you do? That's when you give it the big jerk. It's called setting the hook. And you put that hook in that fish's mouth so that fish can't get away. Well, I don't mean to be that graphic about setting the hook as far as fishing for mankind, but what I call setting the hook is asking for a decision. It's coming to that person and saying, now listen, you've heard what the Lord has done for you. You know that it's the way of salvation. You've got to make a decision. There's no yes or no. I mean, there's no maybe or waiting. There's only yes or no. You're either for Christ or you're against Christ. And so setting the hook, giving a hard tug, asking that hard question, you have to make a decision. Because you're continually reeling in, reeling that fish in the boat. You know, fish just don't jump in the boat by themselves. Their natural inclination is to stay in the water. Now, I was saved when I was 30-some-odd years old. I did not, overnight, become pious because I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I was still in the water in my natural habitat, and I liked it there, to be quite honest with you. And I waddled around in it for a little while because I splashed or I jumped up. I didn't want to get in that boat yet. I wasn't sure I wanted to get in that boat. A fish needs guidance to get into the boat, just as a new believer or someone who is very close to making a decision needs guidance to bring them and lead them all the way to Christ. My wife, Barbara, tells a story that when she was being reeled in, one of the thought processes she had was that I wasn't sure I wanted to be a Christian because I thought I wouldn't have any fun. I liked what I was doing. I enjoyed doing the things that I was doing. And I thought if I became a Christian, I would have to stop all those things. She didn't have the other side to compare it to. Being loved by God, being given the promise of eternal life. And yes, fortunately for her and for me, someone did patiently reel her in to the boat. There's a woman at work who I had a discussion with the other day who has made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And just because they've made that commitment doesn't mean you can stop reeling in. In fact, it's almost equally important to reel people in when they're new believers as it is to just before they've taken that faith. And she said to me, when we were talking about marriage, and she said to me, well, I've been going out and, you know, I'd like to meet someone. I'm 32 years old now, and I get concerned about that. And I asked her where she was spending her time looking to meet people. And she said, in a bar, in a club, in a tavern. And I said, well, you know, you're probably not going to find the person that Christ has in mind for you in a tavern. And she got very offended by that. Because to her, I was ridiculing or mocking the entire population of people sitting in a tavern. And that was her environment. That's the water she was pulled out of. And so she still had that affinity to stay in there. And I just explained to her, I said, I'll look at it this way, that you probably have a 99% chance of meeting a Christian man in a Christian church, and maybe 0.5% chance of meeting a Christian man in a tavern. And she agreed with that. And so it's with that genteel way, at least I hope it came out that way, that she could understand that she needed to be reeled in to a certain direction. Okay? So, all I can say is this, is that for the people that are walking into this church that maybe we haven't seen before, we don't know, someone's out there fishing. Someone's out there laying bait for these people. And you know, this fishing analogy or this fishing game, when you're fishing for men and women's hearts, it's not like fishing for a fish. You can jump into this game anytime. You don't have to be the one that baits the hook. You don't have to be the one that casts it out. But for the most part, you should be the one that's doing a lot of reeling in. And so if someone walks into this church, regardless of what their history is, regardless of where they stand today, it is our job to continue to reel that person in, each and every one of us. Because some of these fish have been caught before. A fish occasionally does jump out of the boat, goes back into the water. And you've got to catch it again. And you've got to reel it in with love. And so, obviously the point, and it's probably painfully obvious by now, is that Jesus' definition of putting these nets in the water and having them pulled out to bursting means that there are so many fish out there that we should be trying to catch. We should be having our hooks in the water all the time. Now, there's a lot of fishermen out there. I'm sure you've seen or you've driven by a pier and you see a little 5-year-old or a 7-year-old boy with his hook in the water. Right? As opposed to the Russian trawler that's out there that's dragging nets for 3.5 miles and just scooping up all fish. There are many ways to fish. Catch one fish or catch thousands. We should be the same way. Whether you're out there contributing with buying the bait or making sure the gear is correct, just get into the fishing process because it's so important. In these days, it is so important. Now, why is it important? I mean, why have I belabored this point as far as fishing? Well, the way I read Scripture and what God has told mankind is that all men, every single one of us, me, you, the person on the street, the person still in bed now and not at church because they've been out all night long, the child walking down the street in the playground, all of us fall short of what God requires us to be in order to gain entrance into heaven. Scripture says all men have fallen short of the glory of God. But Scripture also says that the Father desires that all men would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So here's all mankind on this side. They don't make it. And then God saying, but I want them all. Well, who's in the middle? Well, Christ, Jesus Christ is in the name. Because by dying on the cross, it allows God to look at these people, if they accept him as their Lord and Savior, as righteous and acceptable. And we are the ones that help bridge that gap with how effective we fish for men's hearts and men's souls. God is the real fisherman in this analogy, obviously. It's his Spirit that convicts people of their sin, and it's his love that offers people and promises people eternal life. So young, old, fishing for a single fish, dropping a net and trying to catch a lot of fish, we can all do it. We can all contribute. It's all our responsibility. And I'll tell you something else. There's a reward waiting for us if we just do that. Now, rather than go a little bit into detail about what this reward is, I'd like to play a song. And this song, for me anyway, captures the essence of what that reward is and why Jesus wants us to go out and continue to fish. Now, what I've done is I've left in the pews, I hope, enough copies of this song. Now, some of you may find this song familiar. It was played at the missions conference that we had here. I don't think all of you were here to hear it, but regardless of that, I think it's good to hear it again. And before I play it, I'd just like to make this offer, is that God is continuously offering himself out to us and to those that have not come to a knowledge of who his Son is. And if there's someone sitting here today that may say, you know, I've tried other baits, I've tried other ways, and I'm just inclined today to take Jesus up on his offer, while you're listening to this song, as simply as in the quiet of your own heart, pray something like this: Jesus, take me. I'm yours. I've tried it my own way. I know I have sin in my life. And I know unless I accept you as my Savior in my heart, and I say it with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe it, that's the way to get to heaven. And that's the way to be accepted by God.